Okay, so let me try to understand this. That okay, I understand the scripture about the lantern thing. Okay, about read that to me again.
Well, about the eye, you mean?
Yeah, read that. Okay, read that to me again.
Okay, it says, let me look it up here. It's Matthew 6 and verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?
Okay, now, think about that. And then think about that other piece of scripture that says, cut your hand off, cut your tongue out, mm-hmm. and then read what it says about the eye.
It says, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you.
Okay. Now, what do they mean by your eye sins? You're maybe coveting somebody else's partner?
Yeah, well, it just said in the verse before that, 28, if your eye is looking at another woman, it's called adultery.
Right. Or if you think, wow, look at what they have, I'm going to steal it.
Sure.
I want, you know, envy, jealous.
Right.
That, you know, those kind of things. Desire something because you saw it.
Right.
Okay, now take that, and then look about what you just read and see how it's talking about the good light means the choices you've made. What have you chosen yeah. to see?
Right.
I mean, are you looking at pornography on your computer screen? Are you in a strip club? Are you in a bar getting drunk? Are you sitting on a bar stool in an India casino, you know, pushing buttons on one of those stupid machines?
Right.
Or are you playing with your kids, playing with your dog, family time? Because really what your eyes witness, what your eyes see is it's like a rain gauge showing you how much it's rained. What your eyes see and notice and take in shows where your emotions are and the choices that you've made to be there.
Yeah, it's your focus, isn't it?
Well, yeah, somebody will say, everybody's got some kind of a phobia, afraid of heights, afraid of spiders, bugs, snakes, whatever. And sometimes when they see something on TV, they look away. And you'll say, what? They'll say, oh, I'm afraid of spiders. And you go, it's television. They're on TV.
Yeah.
You know, right. they're not here. Right. I just don't want to look at spiders at all. Well, what are the eyes doing? The eyes are looking at something that has is fear-based in the mind and the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Or at the same time, what's the whole purpose behind taking pictures and videos?
Right.
You want to relive moments
that are important.
You want to see somebody's face because when your eyes look at it, what?
Brings good feelings and thoughts.
Makes you feel good.
Right.
So that's what these passages are talking about. If you're choosing to look at bad things, cut your eye out, throw it away.
And look at what it ends up saying. It says, for it's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. So it's showing you that the body is not really that important.
It's not. It's hard. No, it's worse than hard. It's difficult. It's not impossible. But it is darn difficult to convince somebody to forget about their body
yeah,
and their life.
Discard its importance. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it's hard to tell somebody, don't worry about your bills. Well, if I don't work,
right,
I'm going to be in a box under a bridge.
Right.
And if, how can I not think about my knee? Look at it. It's twice as big as the other knee.
Right.
How can I not worry and think about these things? Well, everything in Scripture shows that human flesh, the body, is temporary and unimportant.
Right.
If you're And I told you this a while ago, and this is a good time to repeat it. If you've lost your legs,
okay,
and you're in a wheelchair, and you're just not a very attractive person physically, so nobody wants to give you a hug or kiss you on the cheek because you're not physically appealing, mm-hmm, in facial features. But you have an amazing relationship. You believe in God. You know there's a God. You experience grace. Well, you can have grace. You can attain grace. Okay. The flip side is someone who exercises, they eat right, they have their own tanning and gym, and you know they have their own chef, their own cook,
right?
You know, and they eat all only organic foods. I mean, they are just the epitome of health. They're just zero body fat, and I mean, you know, like a perfect example of what the human body is supposed to look like. Well, just because they have that doesn't mean that there's trumpet sounds from heaven and they say, you're guaranteed not to go to hell because you look marvelous. You look wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
That has nothing to do with the spirit or the soul.
Right, right.
And then you take these passages about plucking eye outs and cutting hands off. And then look at Jesus. If the body was important, why would Christ have let Jesus get the snot beat out of him and tortured and wear a thorny crown and be screwed or nailed to a fence post? Why would he do that if the body was important? It's not, because that was really temporary, because he was on that cross for just a few hours, but he was sent to hell for 3 days.
Right.
The body didn't go to hell. The spirit of Jesus went to hell.
Right. The body was in a tomb. Yeah, this is going to be an interesting time for people to see how, on one hand, the scriptures show us that God, through Christ, paid a great price for our bodies to actually be able to be healthy and whole and to be well. On the other hand, overemphasis of the body, or any emphasis at all of the body, becomes a great hindrance to your spiritual connection with Christ.
Right.
So there's really two sides to this. And I think if we don't present both sides accurately, people just want to be healed and then stay in a very body, fleshly, worldly consciousness. And guess what? They continue to have problems in their body.
I don't see very many people. We don't get a lot of emails from people who, emails or text messages or letters, matter of fact, from people who are trying to get closer to God or making sure they go to heaven or want grace in their lives. Those are outweighed by, my knee is sore.
Yeah.
My back is sore.
Yeah.
I can't walk because...
Oh, yeah. I mean, what you just said, folks, I hope you got that, because that's overwhelmingly true, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like... I never did understand this. This is going way back. I was in high school, and I thought it was the dumbest thing, and all these years later, I still think it's the dumbest thing. This guy bought a car. He bought it was like a 66, 67 Chevy Chevelle something, you know, whatever. It was a Chevy Chevelle.
Right.
And he had it in his garage. And he had the upholstery done like the factory, the paint like the factory. The white stripes going down the roof of the hood and the trunk like the factory. He got the tire. I mean, this thing looked like it came off a showroom. It was, and he would roll it out of his garage once a week to wash and wax it. And I mean, it was perfect. And he really didn't even like people to sit in it. But it had no engine or transmission.
Oh, really?
So the car was really light. So
just
it was
a shell.
It was just a shell. And so it was real easy for him to roll it in and out of his garage. And I asked him, I says, when are you going to put a motor and a transmission in this thing so you can, like, take it out and drive it? And he says, oh, that was never my intention. And I go, what? And he says, no, I just wanted to have the car and I wanted it to look nice. And I can't afford it and I never really intended to put a motor and a transmission in it. Well, there's a lot of people on the face of the planet and a good portion of listeners to the show that are like that car.
Sure. Yep.
Their focus is all about the interior looking good, the carpet, the headliner, the sun visors, all the gauges and everything, you know, the cigarette lighters and the cigarette tray, ashtray, and the color is from the factory, and this is what the tires that came with. And I mean, but when you look under the hood, the soul, the power plant, it's empty.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing there.
Right.
And let's bring in Genesis, which I always say is misunderstood and ignored and not valued as much as it should be. The book of Genesis. What was the punishment of man and the serpent? What was the punishment of Adam and Eve and the serpent? But to focus on their outside shell.
Right.
You don't get to walk anymore. You have to slither and crawl. You're not a serpent. You're a snake. You have to work for your food.
Right.
You're going to be so focused on your bodies that now you're going to want clothing.
You know, it said over there in Genesis 2, and it said in, I think it's verse 17, it said, God said to Adam, before he ever did take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, in the day that you eat of that tree, you shall die. Well, in a little margin of the Bible, it shows you what it really means. It says, in the day you eat of that tree, in dying, you shall die.
Right.
Because when he ate of the tree, his physical body didn't die right away, but his spirit became what? He became alienated from God.
Yeah.
The death was his spirit took from God.
Well, that's the only death that that really matters.
That's really important. That's exactly right. And look at how that spiritual death affected how man then was going to have to what? Live, function, his reality. If your connection from your spirit is not with God, then the rest of your faculties take over. And that is your mind, your intellect, your will, your emotion, and your body. And for over 6,000 years, folks, people have been living life as though there is no spiritual reality at all in their life. Sad thing being true, the majority of people that call themselves Christians continue to live in a reality where their flesh, their mind, their intellect governs their life, makes their decisions, becomes the sum total of what they actually believe life is all about. Everything about what Jesus came to do was to show everybody that this wasn't the case. Interesting, huh?
It is. We got some emails. If you want to text the show, say hello or just hear your name on the radio or have a comment or question, the way you text the show is the first word that you have to say is the word grace. G-R-A-C-E, grace. Then once you type grace, you can type the rest of your comment or question. And when you press the send button on your cell phone, there's no one, there's no area code. It's just five digits, 69302. That is 69302. If you want to send an email, it's the name of the radio show, The Abiding Presence. No capital letters, no spacing, just the abiding presence at the at sign, G, the letter G, gmail.com. And we got some emails here. We got one that came in 5 days ago. It says, "Hi, you can read my name on the air. I'm a new listener, and I've been catching up on all the past shows. And finally, I am up to the current shows. Wow. Yes. Keep going. This is what we need to hear. I have a question for BJ regarding your relationship with the guys. Starting out, you were aware of God and spoke to him. How has your relationship changed since you began? Do you speak in your Holy Spirit language daily? Thank you, and God bless you all. Thank you so very much." Any relationship, whether it's a business relationship, a relationship with your pet cat or dog, a relationship with a husband or wife, or a relationship with the guys, I think, this is me personally, I think that relationships are like a potted plant. They need sun and light. They need protection from bad weather. They need nutrients in the soil. They need to be watered. And they're supposed to grow and develop. And every once in a while, they out the root system, and the plant gets to the point where you need a bigger pot. They need to be repotted so that they can have more room to grow. That is the relationship that a person can, now notice I said can have with the guys. Whatever relationship you want with the guys is your relationship. It's like a relationship between a child and a parent. They can work together every day. They can be business partners, or they can be estranged and just see each other on holidays and not talk very much, or just know the broad strokes of each life. The relationship that you have with the guys is your own, to make it as close and personal or as distant as you want. Do you speak in your Holy Spirit language daily? I don't know what that means. I just talk. I talk to the guys like I talk on this radio show, and it's the same way I talk to horses, and it's the same way I talk to my dog Ranger. I talk, and that's how I'm going to answer that email. That came from Desiree. We got another email here. Hey,
I was going to just give you real quick before you read that. I found it real quick here. Isaiah 54:2. It says what you were talking about. It says, "Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes." He's talking about expand with God.
Yeah.
Don't stay in a limitation. It's boundless.
Right. Yeah, people... there's rules to everything.
Limits
and rules. The lumber yard closes at 8 o'clock at night.
Right.
The feed store closes at 5:30. Well, that means that I have to get there by a certain time, or I have to wait till the next day.
Mm-hmm.
The local fuel company, they only do farm and ranch bulk gas and diesel deliveries on certain days between certain hours. Even though I don't wear a watch and I don't have a calendar, it seems like everybody else does and goes by them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a lot of limits and boundaries that I don't like, but I'm just in the minority and I have no choice to go along. I think it's one of the biggest scams, one of the biggest reasons why I think organized religion is a joke, is that they and it isn't by accident. They make sure that you know that if your prayers aren't being answered, you need to go to the building. If you want to be closer to God and you need help, you need to come worship with us. You need to log more hours and shovel more money in our front doors to be a quote-unquote good child of God. They make that known. that you can't mail it in. You can't just join. You have to participate. And this is in books. This is in movies. This is in TV shows.
Right. Sure it is.
You know, oh, we have a chapel in the hospital. You have to go there and pray if you want to be close to God. There are so many limits and boundaries that are in our lives that people put limits and boundaries on their relationship with the guys and
right.
what they expect.
Right.
And when you start doing that, you do not get successful prayers. It's just the opposite. You're closing the doors on grace yourself.
Yeah.
This one came in 19 hours ago. It says, "Hi, Jim. My twin brother and I saw you in Indiana about a month ago on a Sunday night." Any recollection of that? Two guys that looked like each other?
Yeah.
You know what twins are, right?
Yeah, sure I do.
"I'm busy catching up on your radio programs and wanted to say thanks to you and BJ and, of course, the amazing dog for the great show that the three of you put on. I would love to hear Bus testimony. Thanks again for teaching us grace, and please pet the dog for me. You may read this on the air." He puts that at the end. "Thank you all again." And
yeah, that's right.
This is from Joe.
Always start that at the beginning.
Yeah, if you don't want your email read on the air, don't put it at the end of the email.
Yeah.
We got one here from somebody named Angela. It says, "Hey, are y'all live tonight? I'm hearing last week's show on Live 365 via the website." That was sent in an hour ago.
Wow.
"I sent her an email a little bit 7 minutes ago that says, we are at 8 o'clock to whenever Central Time Zone. We are live. I hope she's getting the show."
Yes.
So see, folks, that's how easy it is to email the show. We got two texts. "Listening in Pasco, Washington. Hi from Roman." WA is Washington, right?
Yeah, it is. "Hey, Rob, Roman, how you doing?
Do you know him?"
I'm not sure. I mean, I know a lot of people.
Okay.
I know by face.
Then we got one that says, "Hi, Jim and BJ. Great show." So see, folks, that's how easy it is to send an email. That's how easy it is to send a text message. And we love them both. You know, it's about 25 minutes after the hour.
I have a thought here before you go to the next thing.
Oh, what?
See if you think this is good.
What is it now?
What about tonight we see if we can't get people to text us or email us with this thought in mind? Because I know that there's new people listening, because when I go out and minister, you know, I'm sharing with them about the radio show, and I know that there's definitely some that will listen in. Here's my thought for tonight. Write down something in an email or text, at least one thing that you feel is different about what we're sharing than what you normally hear that's actually helping you. I'd like to get...
Okay, say that again.
I'd like people to write down at least one thing that we're sharing on this show that is causing them to experience God more than what they're used to.
Oh, what's different about the show that's working?
Yeah, that's a better way to
say
it.
Why didn't you just say...
Well, because, you know, my mind works.
You drag everything out.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, all you had to do is say, okay, everybody that's listening to the show in an email or text message, one thing or more, if you'd like, that the show is doing positively for you that is new and different than the way you've worshipped or places you've gone before.
Well, that sounded kind of like what I said.
No, but it was better because I said it.
You just said
we got a text message
too.
That says, "Question to Jim, when you going to be in Washington State?"
At this particular point, I don't have any meetings up there, but if you know somebody that would like me to come, let me know. We can make
some
connections.
Well, we had a text from somebody named Roman, and he said he's in Pasco, Washington, maybe.
Yeah.
That's two now. We've had two texts. So, see, when a lot of people don't know this. When you send a text message to the show, we don't know who you are.
Right, right.
It doesn't say anything. It doesn't show your phone number or nothing. I mean, if you send an email, we have an email address, but we don't send anything back. I mean, we don't send out coupons. 2-for-1. Stay out of hell. 2-for-1 week coming up, folks.
Yeah, that'd be nice, right?
Second week of July. If you don't want to go to hell, we've got a coupon. You and a friend or a relative. 2-for-1 coming up second week in July. Stay out of hell week.
Yeah.
Did that sound good? That sounded like...
Yeah.
You know, there's probably some poor little grandma that just logged on for the first time that she heard about the show at Card Club, and the first thing she hears is, stay out of hell week this week, 2-for-1 coupon. And she's probably going, oh my gosh.
Yeah, 50% off.
Yeah. Oh no, let me get a Kleenex.
But, or just click.
Yeah, that's probably more like it. All right, we should probably, I don't know, we should probably open the show.
Start the show off.
Make it official.
Okay.
But let's see, where is it? Here we go, here he is. All right, let's start the show tonight. Here we go. I don't know, I think we've been doing pretty good so far.
Yeah.
There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large.
And we got one that said, okay, Roman, another text.
Life can...
wonder if anybody's listening.
Lost and feeling alone.
We know Roman's
especially
listening.
If there are health it's issues. Good. Or financial strife.
We still on?
It appear to be out of control. You're not alone. Or
you mean, are we broadcasting?
Or answers. No. All you have to do is take a moment
can't
to
hear
clear
this.
Your thoughts and mind.
What
open
you're saying?
Your heart and receive God's love.
No, no.
No,
they can't hear anything.
Right here,
okay, look at the wall. What is the rule in the barn?
And suffering.
When the light's on.
When no, no, now.
For you to ask
when the what is on,
the
when the red light. When the red light is on, your mic is on. And is the light illuminated, Mr. Huckaday?
Still on.
So do you think they can hear us?
Peace and harmony.
Well, I'm just
life.
Wondering if that
ladies
channel is overriding
Jim
us.
Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to... The Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show.
I don't even know what to say. All right. How many years we've been doing this now?
I don't know, but it seems like a long time right now.
It does. It does. Yeah. Yeah. I know my jail sentence was only for 6 months, but it seems like 6 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Good evening, folks. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Radio Show. And let's see. Today's date is the 7th of July, 2015. And it is at approximately 8:30 p.m. Central Daylight Savings Time here in the United States of America. So we made it official now.
So are we are days getting less already?
No. No, the pendulum hasn't swung yet.
Okay. Is it in July?
I think so. A little bit. We're still in the phase of gaining
increasing.
A little more, increasing a little bit.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden it just crescendos and then it starts diminishing.
You should see what it's like when you go up to Wisconsin. Oh, my goodness. Talk about early in the morning, it's bright as can be, and it stays light till like 10 o'clock at night.
Well, yeah.
So it's really something.
Ought to be on a mountaintop somewhere. Well, you know, when you're in the North Pole inside the Arctic Circle, they have weeks where the sun never...
goes down.
Never goes down. It's daylight 24/7. And then the opposite of that is total darkness.
Hey, that reminds me of some of our friends we haven't heard from. Remember them?
From Trinidad?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's not the Arctic Circle. That's Antarctica. That's the South Pole. Yeah, people on that poor little frigid frozen island in Trinidad. We have not heard from them in a long time. Maybe they're froze.
Didn't think about that.
I don't know. Maybe they're just covered in ice, like, you know, an old pound of ground round ignored left in the back of the freezer. Freezer burnt.
Freezer burn. Yeah.
Their freezer burnt. Let's pray to Jesus for freezer burn.
Bad news.
Okay, folks, here we are. We need some text messages. We need some emails. We got to pull this show out of the fire. We're talking about, what are we talking about? We're talking about
the body.
Yes.
And whether or not it is important, like the world definitely highlights, or whether it's not important. Where do we find importance in the Word of God, the way God sees things concerning the body, and where do we find that He sees that it's not important? It's a paradox. That's the word I'm saying I needed to use there.
This has happened to everybody sooner or later in their lives. You've got a mild backache, a headache, a toothache, a sore finger. You have some small ailment that doesn't need a doctor or any kind of medication, but you just don't feel quite right. And you get a phone call, or there's a knock on the door, or somebody flushed a toilet and it's overflowing and the flooding all over the bathroom, or there's a fight with the dogs. Something distracts you, and it's kind of an emergency thing. And all of a sudden, you're dealing with this emergency, and it takes an hour or two to clean up the mess or to deal with it. And all of a sudden, you realize for the last 2 hours, you were so busy dealing with this drama, you forgot about your ache or pain.
Mm-hmm.
It was overridden with endorphins, adrenaline, and something more dramatic that you focused on.
Right.
We've all had that experience.
Sure.
Well, that's an example of what grace does. If you allow it. The problem is that people they focus so much on their ailment, swelling, on the soreness, the inflammation, the pain, the ache, the lump, the bump, that there's no room for grace. There's no room for a new thought to go a different direction.
Right.
A new perspective, the way to look at it, because you've completely dedicated every fiber of your emotions and mind to focusing and concentrating on just how bad things are.
And that is what you just said, and I'm following you in that. Folks, I hope that you are too, because what BJ just mentioned, in my opinion, is probably the greatest percentage of even people that call themselves Christians, their reality. That's exactly where they're at. On a day-to-day basis, they're more in touch with their feelings. They're more in touch with the senses of their body, how they're feeling, how they're not feeling. Because think of the example. For a brief moment, something happened, and it didn't take, let's just say, 20 minutes into handling the crisis of your life. You finally realize, I'm not even hurting. Well, what's the possibility that if you could forget about your body and literally have a passion and an intensity about where your focus is in some other place, what's the possibility if you found God to be the passion and the intensity of your focus and enjoying His presence, that you could literally forget about your body? And by doing so, you find that your body really, by the grace of God, finds itself extremely well, pain-free, no longer suffering with ailment after ailment. And here's one of the things that I find as I travel. People come up just literally, you know, just surrounded by thoughts of their flesh in a particular sickness or disease that's screaming at them night and day. And they'll say something after hearing what we're talking about, like, okay, so how am I supposed to focus on God when literally I'm in pain every single moment, or I've got this particular deformity, or something is going on in their body that's literally staring them in the face? Well, this is where the small, and this may seem insignificant to somebody that has some particular type of disease that the world thinks is monumentous, something very big, grandiose. But the small, what people think insignificant experiences of finding God every single day is beginning to build back into you a consciousness of God, beginning to turn your habits from being flesh and worldly driven to being spiritually driven with God. Because this is a problem. If you're a person who just knows every single ounce of your body so well and you're so in tune with it and you find yourself really seeking God and not necessarily finding Him, well, then we're talking about probably days, months, and years and possibly your whole lifetime of a habit that you've developed where the body and the senses of your flesh are so heightened to a level where you can tell if there's one hair out of place, but you can't tell that the God of the universe is living inside of your heart and the grace of God is staring you in the face. We'll see that we got to turn this reality around. We have to change your reality. And if you think about it, that's what Jesus did. One of the great things that he did when he was on the earth, he went around changing people's reality.
Well, he did too, and he sent a blind man home saying, just go.
Which means he almost, you could say, dismissed the blindness. He wasn't even politically correct. He didn't say, sir, I know you've got somebody come help him. He just literally, in kind of a coarse way, said, okay, go.
Well, and when Jesus and, what was his name, Leonard, walked on water?
Yep, that's close.
Okay.
Peter.
Who?
Peter.
Peter? I was really close. Mm-hmm. When Jesus and Walter walked on the water, he didn't take Leonard's shoes and make them into pontoon boats or like one of those little two-seat bass boats.
Didn't need to.
No, because their flesh was not the point.
And not the point at all.
The point was the spirit.
Okay, and what happened as soon as Peter made the flesh the point?
He got wet.
He got wet, yeah.
Sank like a rock.
Right.
Yep. Fell just like Aunt Marie's bundt cake.
Like a one-egg pie.
What's a one-egg pie?
Well, you need more than one egg to keep it afloat, so it usually sinks.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't even know how to boil water, and you're giving baking tips?
I do, too. I do know how to.
Your wife told me that you are useless in the kitchen.
Hey, listen. I sustained a bachelor life for about 6 or 7 years. With cooking for myself and did just fine.
Really?
I did, yeah. Wasn't the tastiest,
but it didn't kill me. Yeah, because when you cook.
But it didn't kill me.
Yeah, who cares about what it tastes like when you cook food?
Jeez. We just wanted bulk. That's what we were interested in, bulk.
Okay, we got a text that said, this show is different because it's recognizing there really is another reality beyond the natural.
I like that.
And then they say, thank you. We got a text that came in. Oh, this is from Angela, who wondered if the show was on tonight.
Okay.
It says, hi, guys. Thanks for the response, BJ. I'm still adjusting from Pacific to Central Time Zone and got confused about the start time. I've missed the live show so much. One difference, you teach that it is an individual relationship with God and that this is key. No two people's relationship and experience with God will be the same, ever. That's freedom. That just doesn't fly in corporate religion. It's more a shut up and color inside the lines type relationship in buildings. Best, Angela. And then it says, P.S., give Ranger a pat for me, please. My pup is snoring on the couch. There's a dog! There's a dog sleeping! Oh, Ranger! Oh! What is that? Good girl. That's right. Say hi to the dogs. Hi to the dogs.
What?
Good girl. Okay, lay down. Nice job, Ranger.
I'm going to write these down when people give us their thoughts. I want to get these.
Write down what?
I'm writing down their responses.
We have the emails.
Well, I know. Well, you'd have to send me those. Otherwise, I just got it right here. I'm writing them down because I think it's good. I like those too. They're different.
Why don't you just log on to the email account? Why do I have to do everything for you all the time?
You don't.
Why is it always up to me?
You know what?
Why do I have to haul water for two instead of just worrying about me?
You're not even hauling water at all for me. I'm writing them down of my own accord. Thank you very much.
Do you want me to forward all these to you?
I have them written.
Oh, jeez.
It's in my handy book.
Great.
Yeah.
How many books have you filled now?
I'm my third.
Hmm. Now, tell people what the books are, what they represent. Stuff I've
because
said.
Because we're saying things in a very simple way, it's yeah. ranch time.
It's ranch time. It's you write down things I say.
Yeah, things we talk about.
And there's three books of them.
Usually the things that BJ comments on come from me having to ask a good question.
The books of
and
BJ.
And I have heard at least 1,000 times what? That's not a good question.
Yeah, that's not a good question.
Yeah.
So, that don't make sense.
So, what that says is you're not wanting it enough to ask a good question.
Well, no.
When you want it enough, you...
No, that's not fair. That's too hard on you. When I say it's not a good question, I mean it's either too vague or too broad. It needs to be more specific.
Mm-hmm.
Or the question is you're mixing apples and oranges. You need to really think about what you want to know.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem that people have is that they've lost the skill of choice to decide.
Uh-huh.
Because you don't have to. I don't do it very often, but I felt like buying a box of cereal. And I usually don't eat cereal. And so I went to the grocery store, not the local one in town, but like a big store in Tulsa. And, oh my gosh, there must have been hundreds of breakfast cereals. I was amazed. Have you ever seen the breakfast food cereal line?
Yeah, I mean, not in a long time, but I know that they're a lot bigger than when you've ever seen them.
There's millions of flavors and styles and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I picked one out, something real simple and traditional, been around forever. And then I went to the dairy section and got, I bought a big box of cereal, so I bought a gallon of heavy whipping cream to pour on the cereal. And so, well, why would you want to put anything but heavy whipping cream on breakfast cereal? It's cream and cereal, breakfast. And but I couldn't believe all the choices. Well, then I went back to the breakfast food aisle, and I just hung out with the guys. And I watched these people having arguments and conversations about which one to buy because there was so many. And I think that the more evolved we become as a civilization, the more modernized technology, the more developed we become as individuals, we seem to entitle ourselves with what I want when I want it, and it has to be just my way, or I'm not interested in it. And that flows over into the reality of Christ, because people will pray and worship with the same mindset and ideology, that they just don't want a healing. It has to be a special type of healing.
Hmm.
They just don't want to be pain-free. They need this, or this has to occur. I just don't want my hip to feel better. I want my hip to be like it was 30 years ago. Amen. They're unrealistic in their perspective of things. And at the same time, this shows how focused they are on the shell, on the temporary body. And if you look at Scripture, which people claim they know a lot about, people lived for hundreds of years the first time.
Right.
And after the big toilet bowl flushing, Noah's Ark incident, what happened to the lifespan of people?
Yeah, it shrunk down to 120 maximum.
It was dropped by a third.
Oh, more than that. They were 900 years.
Think about what that says. God realized, wait a minute, I got people living hundreds of years, cranking babies out, generation one after another, and they're not worshiping me, they're worshiping each other, and they're more concerned about this flesh in the world than right. they are their spirit.
Right, totally.
Yeah, Noah, I want you to build a really huge bass boat. I want you to put everything on it except for people, because I'm going to hit the chrome handle, and it's going to be the world's largest flushing ever, and everything's gone. And when the sun rises and the water diminishes, we're down to 80 to 100 years, because people seem to do enough damage in that short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in Scripture shows not to worship our bodies.
Right.
Everything in worship talks about laming, maiming, torturing, eliminating the body. That it's a spiritual relationship you're going for.
Right, right.
And I think that I think perhaps people need to do a self-examination of themselves and say, how much am I focused on my body?
Yeah, I mean, there's another way that I can help you folks with this. Think back, even in the last century, to some of the revivals, the names of the revivals. There was, back in 1947 to 1958, there was a healing revival. And then shortly after that, in the 60s, there came a renewal revival, or a time of the Holy Spirit. And then after that, there came a word movement, and then the joy of the Lord movement, and so on and so forth. And people are talking, or prosperity movement that was huge for quite some time. Well, notice all the movements are about the benefits of experiencing God, but the movements aren't about experiencing God. In other words, it's the benefits that you get from
right.
being with God. So what does it show you? I mean, it shows you, even the way we classify things that God's doing, we classify them based on the outward experience of man instead of the inward experience that man is having in his heart. Because why would you need a healing revival if people were connected to grace?
I think
you wouldn't.
I think what's real interesting is many Christian-based grace-filled societies, closed societies, the Amish, Jehovah Witnesses, I think Mormons do it, and a couple of other groups. What they do is late puberty to early young adulthood, they give their children a choice. They don't give them any money or a suitcase full of clothes, but they have an opportunity to leave the community, to go out into the quote-unquote normal, modern, high-tech world. And they can come back, but if they choose to come back, then that means that they've shunned the modern world and they're coming back to dedicate themselves to God and to the lifestyle that they were born into.
Right.
Or they're just castaways, and good luck, don't let the door hit you on the way out. And the overwhelming majority of these kids, these teenagers, they go home.
Hmm.
They find that after they've smoked a few cigarettes and had a few cases of beer and experienced what it's like to live in our world, the world of that everybody that listens to this show, they find that it's really a calmer, peacer, more safe and secure life to go back to the Christian spiritual-based society, the closed society. Well, that says something it should say something to the listeners of your show to show that it's not about material things. It isn't about the body. It's about something simpler and easier that we already have.
Right.
That people are working way, way too hard at trying to have a relationship with the guys.
Right.
We got a text that says, acknowledging God daily, still need help connecting. Any suggestions? You have any suggestions? Still need help connecting? And they're acknowledging God daily? Well, acknowledging God daily doesn't mean that you have a relationship with God. It just means you acknowledge there is a God.
Right. Yeah, take it to the next step, which is acceptance. That's where it's real.
We got a text that says it's not 80 to 85 years, it's 120 years. And then it says GEN 6.3. Wow.
What's GEN 6.3?
Well, I don't know. I guess Genesis 6.3?
Oh, okay.
Does it say that in Genesis 6.3?
Well, I said it was 120.
Well, then, what are they...
I don't know why you think I said 85. I didn't. I said 120.
Maybe I did. I said 80, 85. Not very many people make it to 120.
No.
I wasn't quoting scripture. I was just looking at the reality of things.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anybody listening to the show that'll make it to 120. I'm just doing the mathematical odds. 80, 85 is getting up there. There might be a few people make it to 90. I don't want to make it to 90. I don't want to make it to 80.
I think the worst things get, I think people make those kind of choices too. A lot of do.
I don't know. When I was in the nursing home, I mean, there was a lot of people in their 80s and 90s that were begging to die. They said, I just want to die, Jesus. I just want to die. Kill me. I don't want to, you know.
Uh-huh.
I mean...
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
Well, yeah, but until... I'm not talking about visiting or spending the night, but until you've shacked up in a nursing home for months, it's, you know...
It's not good.
No, it isn't. Okay, let's check for any emails. We need some emails, folks. Let us know you're out there listening to the show. The point of tonight's topic is really kind of an interesting one because it's very easy to get wrapped up in the dramas of this world. I mean, you got bills to pay, so you got to go to work. You got to go to work, so you're away from your family. You don't get to do what you want. You've got hay fever and flus and colds and headaches and stomach aches and back aches and it's just an overwhelming mountain that cannot be traversed or climbed, let alone walk downhill the other side.
Right. An ongoing pattern. So I want to bring in here some scripture for a second that, for those of you that are listening, I'm sure you're thinking of this side, which is the price that Jesus paid. And we'll use some big words for a second, but the price he paid for our redemption. In other words, the price he paid so that man could find God. Well, in that price, I'm looking at a verse in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20 that says, we were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Well, people may be thinking, you're talking about the body really isn't supposed to be important. But Jesus, and we have this as reference over here in Isaiah in chapter 53, And notice what it says. I want you to see this for a second. It says, he, Jesus, is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. So, when Jesus took those stripes on his back, we know that because that's what Matthew 8:17 says. He took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. When he did that, he was paying a price so that we could be physically healed. And he showed us that by going around for three and a half years of his ministry time, and he healed everybody who was willing to come to him to be healed. He wasn't able to heal those who rejected him, but he was able to heal those who accepted him.
Hometown.
Okay, so put that together with us saying the focus tonight that the body is really not as important as you think. And you may find yourself saying, okay, I'm having a little struggle here because how is it that Jesus would pay for our sicknesses and give us the ability to be free from pain and sickness and yet the body not be important?
Well, he created us in his image, and he's not a human being, he's a spirit being.
There you go. So now we look at why in the world we even have a body. Because God is a spirit being. He doesn't have flesh. There is one person that has flesh in heaven, and that's Jesus. Because once he took on our flesh, he has a flesh and bone body now. But listen, folks. Notice this, and BJ, you and I have talked about this, and this is a great point, and anywhere I go when I bring this up, people really get that look on their face like, wow, I've never thought of that before. And that is, when you ask them, when did Adam and Eve know that they had a body? And the answer is, not until they sinned. So everyone think for just a moment, what does that mean or what does that say to you about before Adam and Eve sinned? Did they have bodies? Well, yes, we know they did. In fact, God didn't send spirit into the body of Adam for Adam to become a human being until God created the body first. In other words, it's like saying God knew he was going to have a bunch of spare parts, so he wanted to have a container to keep them in. So God knew he needed to put Adam in something that would connect to this world. Now, if God didn't make this planet and he was making spirits to be in the spirit world, he wouldn't have to do what? Give them a body. And who do we have that looks like that? Angels. They don't have physical bodies. They can take on a physical body or appear to have one, but they don't have physical bodies. Why? Because they exist in the spirit world. God made a planet for us. He made a planet out of materiality. It's of this world. Therefore, he made a body. In fact, one scientist said it, the very simplest I've ever heard it said, we really are comprised as a human body of 16 buckets of water and one good bucket of mud. Well, however you think of that.
Who said that?
I heard one scientist say that. We're comprised of 16 buckets of water and one good bucket of mud.
That's about right. Minerals.
Yeah. So when you think of it, God took of this world and made a physical body. And then he breathed into that body the spirit. And man came alive. Now, when man came alive, he wasn't noticing his body. He was spiritually alive and experiencing God, who is a spirit. It wasn't until he sinned and his heart was severed from that connection with God that the body became oh so important. And even, BJ, the things that took place after man was kicked out of the garden, everything was about the body, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, the punishments, everything was. Yeah. That's where people can find value in the book of Genesis is to look at the fact that at any moment, Adam and Eve could have been right back in the Garden of Eden. At any moment in time. But they bought into the punishment. well, he cast us out, and now we have all this stuff to deal with. We're screwed now. They never even considered repenting.
No, they never asked for a solution. Because when God put an angel in front of the gate or the entrance to the garden to guard it, and what was he guarding? He was guarding the tree of life, which means God didn't want Adam and Eve to eat of the tree of life in a fallen condition, in a spiritually separated condition. So he guarded the tree of life. And that's where Jesus becomes the tree of life. And that's why he said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. In other words, I came to connect you back to God so that you could begin to experience what you were meant to experience in the beginning.
But they chose not to.
Well, they didn't even choose to question whether it was possible.
Never
and
even.
That, and, right. And to that, what you said, I agree 1,000%. They didn't even try. They just accepted wholehearted that we're now flesh beings and we've got to do everything different. And folks, think about the sentence that Adam and Eve were given. It's going to be difficult. You're going to sweat. There's going to be a lot of pain. Things aren't going to be easy. Oh, in fact, you're going to have to get everything yourself. You might want to take a few classes on how to make food because I'm not going to be doing it for you.
Yeah.
All your protection, everything about safety, shelter, clothing, it's all going to come from you. I mean, that's a huge reality change, isn't it?
It is. We got an email that came in 4 minutes ago. We need text messages. We need emails. It says, hey guys, great show. Really been trying to get out of the way and to take no offense against anything, including sickness or injury or others. Jim said it once on his Wednesday night Bible study that you can't do that with your will. You have to do it as a spirit. And that's from Old Breakfast Ed.
Hey, Ed, how's it going?
Hello to Ed. And hey, speaking of saying hello to listeners, we got some mail.
Well, we did. We got some mail, and let's see who this is from. It's from somebody here right in Bixby. Let me see.
No, not Bixby.
Must be in Broken Arrow.
Broken Arrow.
Tulsa. Ken and Lori Saltic have blessed the show here. And they even, this was kind of nice, wasn't it, BJ? They even sent money specifically so that you and I could eat pizza on the show.
They did, and we did. Jim showed up at the ranch tonight with a large favorite pizza and for him, and then a large of my favorite pizza, and then we shared some honey barbecue chicken wings.
Yeah.
And so thank you very much for buying us supper tonight. So we really appreciate it.
If we have individuals calling us in about their meal plan tonight, it's not really going to affect us too much, is it?
Because we ate.
Yep, we ate.
You know, speaking of meal plans,
where's Sue?
Stovetop Sue. Or her mom and dad, or her sister and brother-in-law.
Yeah.
They're all missing in action.
Yeah. Dave and Barb, I wonder how they're doing.
Outlaw bikers, grandma and grandpa, they're all, we haven't heard. Uh-uh. There's a lot of people we haven't heard from in a while.
Kind of dry out there in California, though. They may be fighting the heat. Who knows?
Could be. Yeah, but only outside.
Okay. Well, hey, let me.
It's not as bad as it was. I went through the 7-year drought in California.
And it's not as bad right now as it was then?
I don't think so, because back then, if you washed your car, you got a $500 fine.
Which will be about $2,500 today?
Yeah, probably. But no, you got a $500 fine if you washed your car. There was no sprinklers running on, like, lawns.
Right.
And, like, businesses and, you know, like, grass medians with flower beds, the communities. They just let it all burn up because it was a waste of water to water plants. Baseball fields, football fields weren't being watered. Car washes closed down because people weren't allowed to wash their cars. It was really bad for about 7 years. It says, how are we making this hard? Well, I don't know how to answer that because I don't know who you are. It's a text message. But each one of us has our own load that we're dealing with that we've created ourselves.
In other words, our reality from our choices.
Yeah. How are we making it hard? Well, I don't know because I'm not you, and it's really none of my business. But each one of us imposes unrealistic goals, ridiculous achievements to achieve, and sad, frustrating limits and boundaries as to what we think is real and what we think can be real and what can be attained.
Yeah, I mean, and you can get caught up in this. Just think about being a student, at a college student nowadays. Your focus is so much on what you're studying, given the limited jobs that are available, to study something so that, and put all of your time and attention into it so you can be the best in your class, so that you can fit into society in a certain very small, limited form of some type of specific job, so that you can even have one. Well, look at all the pressure, the focus, the time, the energy that's placed. Now, I'm not saying that so that you flunk out and you don't put your time and attention on good grades and learning your subject matter. What I'm saying is look at the distraction that's placed before you at a young age, where you learn to literally put God on the shelf while you put all of your attention into a job of this world, where if you were to put your attention on God and allow Him to be a part of your studies, you'd not only find that your studies would be better, but you'd have a relationship with the Lord. So, how do we make it hard on ourselves? All you got to do to make it hard on yourself is just go along with the way that the world does everything that they do. Not buck the system, not realize there's something more. In my opinion, if you're going along with the world, you're floating downstream. If you're going with God, you got to go against the current.
If the body and the world were important, there would not be the book of Revelation.
Right. The book of Revelation shows you that God is having to make the biggest and most lasting course correction for the choices that man, unbridled, has made for thousands of years.
That's the last big flush.
That's the last big flush. And it will have everlasting, eternal consequences added to it.
I think I have a toilet bowl flushing sound effect.
Do you really? Do you really? You can find it while I give a couple more scriptures, all right?
I don't know. I mean, I think I...
We'll see what you think.
Why would I think I have that?
Well, you probably do. So I'm going to go back, folks, for a moment here. I want to continue to keep this dichotomy of thought before you. In other words, the idea that the body isn't important. At the same time, we have record that Jesus paid a price for us. He shed blood. He took stripes upon his back to eliminate sickness and disease. In fact, Psalm 103 and even verse 1 tells us, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." So right there we see Jesus paid a price by putting his own body at risk to take upon himself the sickness, disease, and pain of all sickness and all disease in the world. Why would he do that? Well, to eliminate it, defeat it, so that mankind could live without sickness and without pain and without the fear of disease. Now, this is an interesting thought, and I'm going to share this right up here. We'll probably talk in a second about it, because I know it won't take long before we get a toilet flushing soundtrack here about the book of Revelations. But in the meantime, let me say this. I wholeheartedly, and have been saying this now for months, probably the last couple of years, this is my opinion. I believe I can support it from the Bible, but I can't get one scripture to say it the way I'm going to say it. I believe wholeheartedly the number one reason why Jesus actually paid for the sickness and disease so that our bodies would be healed and healthy is to get our bodies out of the way where spiritually we wouldn't be hindered by being so distracted with all the nuances of the flesh where we could find God in a very real way. I believe that's the reason why. Because when you look at scriptures that tell us it would be better to go into heaven with one hand missing, but actually make it, than have both hands and go to hell. What's Jesus trying to say? Don't by any means forfeit the seriousness of your spirit connecting with God for this frivolous world where your flesh is involved. Don't do it. Did you find something that might
work?
I did.
I found a toilet flushing.
So now we're going to hear about what the book is. Well, that's not a toilet flushing.
No.
That's an elephant.
That's an elephant. Hold on. Hold on. Wait. Okay. Toilet flushing.
That's a lion.
No, that's not it. Hold on. Just bear with me, folks. I know this is it. I got it now. I got it now. Okay. Hold on. Toilet flushing. No,
that one's not even close.
No, hold on. Well,
a cuckoo clock.
Just give me a chance here. I know I got it somewhere. I just know I do. I know I've got it. I just know.
Wanted to show everybody how versified all your sound.
No,
are?
No, that's not. Got it now. I've got it now.
Okay.
Toilet flushing.
I'm ready.
First time on the show. No, that one.
You definitely pressed the wrong button.
Well, I know I've got a toilet flushing. I just know I do. It's got to be somewhere. Somewhere.
You've got pages and pages and pages of sounds.
Have you
ever counted them?
Yeah. There's a...
Over 1,000?
No. I think there's a... here it is. I got it now.
Okay.
Definitely. Toilet flushing right here. Just like... Revelation and Noah.
That sounds like a Ford.
Oh, really? The next time you want to borrow a truck, pick another ranch, buddy.
That's right.
Yeah, you better think about that.
It sounded like a Chevy.
Yeah, this ranch has got four Ford Super Duty trucks. That wasn't it. Boy, that was...
Maybe that was a Toyota.
Now that's a toilet.
That is.
That's a big toilet.
Holy smokes.
That's like one of those old-fashioned truck stop toilets.
It's got a whole gallon.
Oh, there. That was like a 40-gallon flush. I mean, you could flush a hog down that toilet.
Oh,
I mean, listen to the size of this.
Oh, I got it. I got it.
Listen to the size of this toilet.
I got it the first time.
Yeah. See, that's a Jesus flush there. That's a serious flush.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be a lot bigger than that Book of Revelations.
Think anybody's still listening after all that?
You know what? I bet you it's kind of... You got any crickets? Because it might just
crickets?
Be like that. Yeah.
They're
all gone.
The crickets?
Yeah.
I don't know if I have crickets.
While you're looking for crickets.
Oh, here it is. Here. I got crickets. Here it is. Here's crickets.
So now you asked, is anybody listening? Somebody's sawing. Those are construction workers.
Yeah, that's not crickets, is it? No, that's not crickets.
They're building a house.
Yeah, that's not. That's not crickets at all, is it? Wait, here it is. Crickets. Got it now.
Really?
That's not crickets. I'm going to give up at this point.
Okay.
Probably a wise choice. All right, we need some emails, folks. The way you email the show is the name of the show, theabidingpresence@gmail.com. Ranger! And we need some text messages. The way you text the show is the first word that you type is grace, and then after that, you send it to 69302. Ranger! All right. So, we've heard from the dog, right? All right, good girl.
Okay, so, James. And James chapter, 2 and verse 26. Look how I'm going to put together a couple of these thoughts here. It says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Keep in mind what we've talked about here, because I want you to see this. You know, the importance of Christ taking our infirmity, bearing our sickness, in other words, handling the load of it, of pain and sickness for us so we don't have to have it, doesn't say that God wants you, when you're healed, to continue a life where your choices are all about your flesh. Come on, that's reminiscent of Adam after the fall. God wants you, once your flesh is healed, to let your flesh get out of the way, stop thinking about it, and enjoy a spiritual connection. Notice it says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So let me interject this thought. If you don't pay attention to your spirit, and you never have any fellowship from your spirit to God, what condition do you think your body is in? It's open game on a world full of all kinds of garbage. If it says, for the body without the spirit is dead, then you have a spirit. You're in your body, but if you don't pay attention to your connection, what does it say about how healthy your body's going to be? It's not. That's why everything is about getting your mind off of your flesh and getting your focus on your heart.
That's pretty good.
Well, it makes sense, doesn't it?
Hope somebody's listening. This came in 2 minutes ago.
Well,
it
good.
Says, hi, BJ, Jim, and Ranger. You are the only ones I have ever heard talking about our bodies in that way. In 2 Corinthians 5-8,
right,
where it says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. We usually think that means when we die, we will be with Jesus. Well, not necessarily. Now when you speak that scripture, I say, distracted from the body, connected to the Lord. Well, good for them. Love the show. Diane from Toronto. And it says, P.S., postscript. I love your laugh, BJ, and I think I'm going to record it and use it as my ring for my cell phone.
I didn't know that you could do that.
I don't know if it's worthy of
a cell phone ring.
Yeah, I think if she's going to use it as a cell phone ring, it should be the Get Out of Hell coupon. Can you just imagine you're in an office that's really, really quiet, and all of a sudden you hear, get out of hell, get out of hell, 2-for-1 this week, and only this week, bring a friend, bring a relative, get out of hell, 2-for-1 coupon, here and only here.
Or she should record.
What?
God.
Oh, yeah.
Spelled backwards.
I don't think that'll ever be recorded.
Oh, okay.
We have no control over what the guys do on the show. They just... That's between them. How many times has that taken us by surprise and just shown up out of nowhere?
Wow.
And I don't even think that could be recorded. I wouldn't even try. There's just, some things you just don't do. Okay, here's another email that we have that came in. It says, hi, Jim, BJ and Ranger. Jim, I have been taught that when you experience symptoms in your body, you are to take your authority in Christ and speak to the symptoms, rebuke them, and command them to go. Do you do this, or do you ignore them and not give them any attention? Aren't we giving significance to symptoms if we spend time rebuking and commanding? Can you help me to understand? Thank you for your insight. BJ, my dog, Deco. Well, that's a cool name for a dog.
Yeah, it is.
Deco says to give Ranger a belly rub.
Well, when you think about Jesus, if he's our prototype, God showing us in Christ what it was like for someone to have a really wonderful, unbroken connection. did Jesus spend time rebuking sicknesses? Well, there were a few instances where someone had a spirit, and so he would command that person to be well or command that spirit to come out. But if you look at the majority of time, Jesus walked around with the grace of God or the presence of the Holy Spirit, and when he encountered somebody with something wrong, Jesus always did what? He changed the reality. And when you look at the individual cases, you'll see that Jesus pretty well didn't pay attention to any sickness. He actually did what? He gave credence or he gave value to a person's healing. So to a man with a withered hand, he said, go ahead and shake my hand. Stretch your hand out. Well, the guy couldn't do that. If he could have done it, he would have already been shaking hands. He would have been stretching his hand out before. Well, why would Jesus say something like that unless Jesus saw the situation different than the way everyone else did? And this is what we have to do. The first step for us is to begin to separate what's of the spirit and what's of the flesh. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus when he was saying, you must be from God because no one can do the things that you do unless God has sent him. And Jesus specifically said, you need to get born again, Nicodemus, because when you are, that's when you see the kingdom of God. Or in other words, being saved, being born of the Spirit, is where you have a reality change. And your reality changes from seeing things according to your flesh versus seeing things the way God sees them.
I like
and
that.
If you see things the way God sees, why are you going to rebuke something that God believes Jesus already took? Why wouldn't you just devalue, or in other words, take away its importance? The reason why we're talking tonight is for everyone, myself included, for us all to become better at not letting your body be so important.
Trying to think how to phrase this. Things happen to me all the time on the ranch. I just don't acknowledge them. Like somebody will say, hey, boss, you're bleeding. And I'll say, no, I'm not. Who cares? And I won't even, and they'll say, aren't you even going to look? Aren't you going to check? And I says, no, we got stuff to do. And then they'll say, you're not bleeding anymore. Where'd the blood go? You didn't even wipe it off. And I'll say, well, I don't know. I didn't. I says, we're too busy to think about it. And I hate the fact that to some people listening to the show, this sounds like a miracle or something that they just wish would happen to them.
Right.
Because it's really just the opposite. I mean, it's... we all are afforded such grace.
Yeah, but what you just spoke about was perspective.
It is.
And that's the reason why you're actually experiencing it.
There's a lot of things that happen on, and see, this is a, see, here's the thing about the ranch. And sometimes it kind of irks me. I'll be kind of curt to someone, not rude. I'll just be a little short, or I'll just say, well, you know, the cowgirls can help you out. I got to go do this. And I'll just kind of ungraciously bow out of a situation. Because people will come to the ranch, and they will feel the grace. They'll see the grace. They'll notice the grace. The grace will assist them and help them. And they'll say, oh, I'm so glad I came. And they'll step out of their car and they'll say, oh, I just feel it. You know, I can feel the presence of God. And I just really roll my eyes. Not because I don't believe them. It's just the opposite. I do believe them. I can tell by their expression on their face, their eyes, the way they look and feel that they're feeling grace on the ranch. But the reason I just go, oh, is because it's the ranch.
Right.
There is no difference in this barn than any other barn on the face of the planet.
Right. Right.
This barn is not special. The only thing that you could say that is special about this barn and different is that it's got a radio station in it. And we do radio shows. Other than that, it's a barn. And a very plain barn. Not a fancy one. And it's the same thing that irks me about organized religion. Right. You have to go to a certain building on a certain day, on a certain time, dress in specific clothes, and act and talk in a certain way to have a relationship with God? Where in Scripture does it say that? Jesus did not have an appointment book. Jesus did not have an office. Jesus did not have a dress code. It was the opposite. He took grace with him to show people that grace was there before he came, grace will be there while he's there, and grace will be there eternally after he leaves town.
Right, right. You know, if these things aren't talked about, what BJ just shared and what I'm getting ready to share right here, if they're not articulated and spoken, then think about it with me and really, really apply your thoughts to this for just a second. Going religiously to a place of worship, having, let's just say they have great singing, okay?
And good cookies.
Good cookies, great singing, coffee beforehand, and wonderful, kind people. If they're not emphasizing at that place for everyone to enjoy God on a regular basis, individually themselves, that the place that you now come into is a place where people share the testimonies of what God's been doing, that gives them an emphasis of thinking, this isn't the end game at all here. This is just a place where people are sharing what really is the game, which is when you leave, when you go back to a world that has more than is even here.
Right.
If that's not being articulated, then help me for a second, folks, as you listen. What people are getting, I don't care how good someone preaches. They may preach Circles Around Me. They may preach some of the best messages you've ever heard as far as being able to articulate them, as far as their facial expressions, the way that they get into it. But listen, what they're saying is not being actually heard louder or affecting people more than what people are getting by not being told the truth. So I'm going to say it this way. What people will get is that this is church. It's coming to this building, which is church. It's hearing the choir sing, which is church. It's the time of taking an offering that's church. And they miss the whole point that really church is your experience with God alone. And if it's not emphasized, I'm telling you, then people will subconsciously just gravitate to thinking that the only time you can have anything spiritual is like someone saying it's at the ranch. And, and the part that you're saying is, you know in your heart, you can tell that this person doesn't get it.
No.
And they're making something so to do of what's going on here that you know the moment they get out that gate, they're going back into their world, and their world is not full of the grace of God.
Right.
And that's the sadness about it. They could actually recognize it here, but they won't take it with them. Same thing. People go to a building, and there is some wonderful presence there.
Yeah.
But the fact is, they don't recognize. Okay, tell me how many times have we dealt with this? Someone says, that was an amazing service. You could feel God's presence like you could cut them out with a knife. And then you'd say this, and so how come you're still limping?
Yeah. Why are you,
Why are you not seeing?
That's why
you still, how come you still have pain?
That's why I've never understood when someone says, I've been attending services here for 2 years. I've been saved and reborn for over a year now. Praise Jesus. And then I say, what's different? What do you mean? Well, what's different about your life? Well, I'm saved. I'm reborn. Praise Jesus. And that's it. Time served. Like a jail sentence.
Yeah, it almost reminds me when you say that, praise Jesus. Almost reminds me like it's an automation. It's like push a button.
Praise Jesus.
Push a button.
Praise Jesus.
Push a button.
Praise Jesus. Or the other one is, I'm blessed.
Yeah.
Praise Jesus, I'm blessed. Praise Jesus, I'm blessed. I found the crickets.
You did?
I found the crickets. Are you ready for the crickets?
I am.
Okay.
Is anyone listening? Go ahead. I wonder if anyone's listening. It's not the crickets, it's the locomotive.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it's a train.
Well, maybe they're just big crickets.
Come on, you got crickets. I know you do.
It is a train, isn't it?
Sounds like it's an old train, too. That's a pretty old train.
Well, I was positive that was crickets.
I was going to say we're close, but that's not.
We got an email came in 13 minutes ago. Hi, from Michelle and daughters.
Okay.
I don't know if we've ever gotten this one. Have we?
I know who Michelle is. They're probably here in Broken Arrow. Joe and Michelle.
I can't pronounce the last name. It starts with an M.
Yeah.
M-O-V-E something?
Yeah.
Okay. It says, hi from Michelle, M, and daughters. It says, the girls are laughing at BJ's sound effects from his computer. We love your show.
Well, thank you, Michelle. Appreciate it.
I wonder what the girls' names are. How old are they?
Oh, I think they range from around 16 to around 24 or 5, I think.
How many they got? 7 or 8?
They have 3 daughters and 1 boy.
4 kids.
Yes.
I wonder how many of the... Well, I wonder if all 3 girls are listening.
I would think so, because they come to the Wednesday nights, too.
They do?
Oh, by the way, Wednesday night.
Wednesday night, Hardesty Library, Tulsa, Oklahoma, starts at 7 o'clock. Seats are free, but you won't need a whole seat because you'll be sitting on the edge. Was that good?
There you go. That's good. I don't need to say anything. But you can go to the Jim Hockaday webpage jimhockaday.com, and find the live streaming, which will be from 7 to 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, and that is the library broadcast of What is Reality?
Ranger! That's right. One of these, you know, if I ever started a religious organization, which... I won't. And if I ever started a congregation, which I wouldn't, the first thing I would do is deal with the calamity and disastrous practice of communion.
Well, why?
How can you talk about the glory of God and the wondrous experience of sharing grace with a bunch of people and serve them lukewarm, stale, out-of-date grape juice and a cookie that has no filling, no sugar coating, and it's just a little, round, tasteless cracker? If I was to invite a bunch of people to come together to talk about grace, I would have a soft serve ice cream machine where you could have chocolate or vanilla or a twist. And you could have a traditional ice cream cone or you could have a waffle sugar cone. And we'd wait till everybody had their either chocolate, vanilla, or twist cone on whatever cone they wanted, traditional, and then that would be our communion, eating ice cream together. Right. Now there is worshiping grace.
Where you could recognize what Jesus did for everyone.
Yes.
With ice cream in hand.
Yes. Or at least make it like Oreo cookies, and you have your choice of strawberry, cherry, or grape Kool-Aid, or maybe Fig Newtons, or milk, or chocolate milk, or like Chips Ahoy cookies, and You know, and in the winter time, have hot chocolate. Your choice of marshmallows or whipped cream or both. Now, these... Now, this is grace.
Okay, so let me ask you, because that's very interesting. I'll have to kind of log that in case sometime we need to maybe change up the elements, right?
$8,200 gets you a really nice ice cream soft serve.
I know you've looked into that, yeah.
$8,200, and then about another $800-$900 in, you know, the
ingredients.
The ingredients. But the key to a soft serve ice cream machine, this is where people mess up, is not only does the ice cream machine have to be set at the right temperature, but the ice cream machine should be in a room that is also cool so that you get to enjoy your ice cream and it doesn't instantly start melting. So I would have it in a room of like 50 degrees. We got a text that just came in. It says, really enjoyed last week's program and tonight's as well. Hey, this is from Dorothea in New Jersey.
Oh, good.
Oh, we got an email just came in, and it says, hi, Jim, BJ, Ranger, and the other listeners. The topic tonight is really good and thought-provoking. I'm laughing along with the sound effects. The bagpipes were definitely the best.
Yep.
Did we have bagpipes?
Yeah, and you kept them going for a really long time.
A really long time.
Yeah, bagpipes are really...
You don't like bagpipes?
Well, you know what? I appreciate them because they're very, very hard to play.
Are they?
Super, super hard. I mean, your wind and control of your air has to be really pretty stout.
Okay, here we go. Okay.
But they can be annoying.
Okay, here we go. Bagpipes.
Man, you're really off tonight. That's a helicopter.
It is a helicopter, isn't it?
I don't think you've stumped anybody yet tonight. Like, I don't think anybody went, oh my God, those are the most amazing bagpipes I've ever heard.
Here we go. Bagpipes.
Oh, great. Is there more? Please rescue us while we finish some thoughts here. I do have a question to ask you. It must be a funny question. We've heard that one before.
We have. We've used that one before.
Okay.
All right, what's the question?
The question is, for someone out there,
okay,
that is struggling in their flesh,
right?
What are your thoughts? I'll give my thoughts too.
But what do you mean by struggling? Give me
struggling with their body and their flesh. What are your thoughts about steps that they can take to begin to turn that around?
I think there's people I've counseled who have been kind of successful, and there's people I've counseled who are now, every time they pray, they get instant results, and that's what you're supposed to get.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing in common between the two descriptive types is their desire for a new reality and a new change. Nobody loses weight and change their eating habits and what time they eat and the food they buy unless they really want to. Nobody stops drinking or using drugs or stops gambling unless they really want to. So I think that until someone genuinely has the desire and need and want to have a relationship with the guys, it won't happen no matter what radio show or where they go to worship or who counsels them or talks to them. I mean, I've always firmly believed this, unless you're going to point a gun at somebody's head and say, if you don't do this, I'm going to blow your brains out, you really can talk to your blue in the face, but until they want it themselves, it's not going to come to pass.
Right.
And I think that nothing is more descriptive than a relationship with the guys. Okay. You can't twist somebody's arm. You can't sell them on heaven or hell. You can't browbeat them or bully them into it or trick them into it, because grace wouldn't allow that. Well, not grace. That'd be the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would not allow grace to be subjected to such ridiculous thoughts. The Holy Spirit is kind of the policeman of the guys. The Holy Spirit is the one who swoops down and says, "Wait a minute." To have a relationship with Christ is so personal and it's so varied. It's like sitting outside in your car in the parking lot of an all-you-can-eat restaurant, whether it's American food, Mexican food, Chinese food, Italian food. You just know that there's a lot of people in there. There's a lot of food, and you know it's an all-you-can-eat buffet. So there is countless ways to fill a plate full of food.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if there's 500 people in that room, there's 500 different combinations of plate on food. And more than likely, when somebody goes back for seconds, it's going to be even different the first time. So mathematically, you would say that there's 500 people in an all-you-can-eat buffet, but realistically, there's probably going to be 1,000 to 12 to 1,300 different combinations of food on plates for people that go back for seconds and some that go back for just a little bit of a third helping. And then you've got dessert. That's grace. Whether you have wondrous things occur or you just have a satisfying, healthy life that is fulfilling.
Okay.
Both of those are grace. The limitless and endless, boundless love of Christ affords a person to go really far, really fast, or cover virtually no ground and be stand still. You can be satisfied that there is a God and there is a grace and never pray and you're fine. Or you can have arguments, well, you know, arguments, conversations, and travel wondrous roads of information, which is my personal choice, but that's up to the individual.
Sure it is.
We got an email that came in. It says, BJ, my friends and I actually do communion that way. Oreos and milk, chocolate chip cookies, and Capri Sun, and even buffalo wings and wine. No kidding. What's Capri Sun?
Just a drink, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
I've never heard of it.
You know, I'm going to answer to that question about someone that's really hurting. Well, first of all, we both know, because we've been there, the temptation that when you are really hurting and there's something that according to this world is really wrong, to just literally dive in with every single thought. All day long, your aspirations are to get out of that problem, to get your body to function like it ought to. So, look for just a moment at what I just said. If that's you, every waking moment, your focus is somehow on trying to get your body to be well. What is your focus on all day long? Your body. My thoughts to you are, why not go ahead and get your focus on Jesus? Enjoying the fact that he's with you. You know, there was an old story of a woman, Lillian Yeoman, way back in the last century, had a little healing school in her house years and years ago.
Really?
And there was an individual that was struggling in her physical body. And she was praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. And you know how we've talked about that. The more you pray, the more you don't have, the more you're going the wrong way.
Right.
Well, Lillian Yeoman told her, this lady told her, she said, think of it like this, like an old-fashioned balance scale, okay? And actually, back then, she didn't have to say old-fashioned because it was an old-fashioned
balance. Yeah, that was the weights
okay?
and measure of the day.
She said, on one side are prayers, and on the other side is praise. She said, you've got the basket full of prayers completely full. She said, when your praises equal out your prayers, she said, then you'll have it. In other words, she's trying to get her away from trying to get God to give her something and to become thankful that she already has something. And the switch of that focus, that lady ends up running down the stairs completely well, saying, well, my goodness, I got it. Well, that's what I'm saying. We get our focus so much when we're hurting on trying to get rid of what we're hurting with that if we take our minds for a second and place them on Christ, it's amazing what can begin to happen when he has the ability to do something with your body.
The other thing I've noticed is the closer someone comes to the guys, the less they pray. Across the board. I ran into a lady a couple weeks ago, and she's come a long way. I didn't know her, but, you know, I saw her, and she was at a gas station, and she looked at me, and I looked at her, and we both smiled. And she says, I rarely pray anymore. And I says, what's a prayer? And she started laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw the grace, you know. We could,
right.
And see, that's one thing that people don't realize is that When you recognize the grace in others, you'll recognize it in yourself.
Sure.
And when you recognize it in yourself, you can see grace in others.
Yep.
It's like a little flag sticking up out of their head.
Yeah.
Or like one of those forklifts that got the little yellow spinning light on it.
Yeah, at the top.
Yeah. You can see it. And we saw it. She was a real nice lady. We talked for about 45 minutes in this gas station. And people are kind of befuddled by that. They say, well, why? Well, the closer you become to God and the more grace you have in your life, what's there to ask for?
Right.
Your wants and needs become completely spiritual.
Yeah.
Which are taken care of by grace.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you actually become a spiritual couch potato. You just kind of sit back and grace does everything. Guess what? This is great. It says, hello, with all your sound effects, where's the motorcycles? Ha, ha, ha. Enjoying the show, Grandpa and Grandma. Tuesday night, Central California, outlaw bikers, Grandma and Grandpa, headed down highway, just blowing the dust out of that machine.
Pacific Highway number 1, right?
Well, they call it PCH now, but when I was in California, it was just Highway 1.
Highway 1.
Or the coastal highway.
Right.
Used to have a boarding stables and rent horses for people to ride on the beach.
Oh, that's great. That'd be real fun.
Yeah. I went to the library because this is before the internet. This is before answering machines and microwave ovens. I went to the library and photocopied a permit to do business on public lands. And then I just filled in my name and the name of the horse barn falsified records and rented horses for people to ride on the beach.
Hmm.
Made buckets of ducats.
Hmm.
Made bank, baby. Made bucks. Oh, we got a text that says, how do you handle long-standing illness? Seems harder. Thank you. Long-standing illness would be longer for the sheer fact that long-standing illness. It shows how long you've dedicated your thoughts and your perspective. Why are you over there giggling?
Nothing.
Well, it's true. I mean, the longer you think about something, the worse it gets.
Right.
The longer you think about something, the more focused you become
on it.
The
more real it becomes to you.
And the more time you waste.
Right. So turn that around to think about if that much time was spent thinking about Christ, how real would he be?
Yeah.
And how healed would you be?
Right.
Right.
I just came up with a homework assignment.
Okay. Good.
Are you ready for this?
I am.
We have a homework assignment, folks. We haven't had one in a while. If you don't know what they are, we give you a week's time until next week's Tuesday night show to do what we suggest you might want to do. Here's tonight's homework assignment. Okay. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, this is what I want you to do. Whatever you do, whether you make your bed, take a shower, cook breakfast, brush your teeth, how much time you spend in the bathroom, how long it takes you to get dressed, your morning routine, whatever it is, however long it is or however short it is, this is what I want you to do. I want you to time it. How many minutes it takes you to do your morning ritual? Do you just jump out of bed, comb your hair, brush your teeth, throw some clothes on and you're out the door? Or do you have a long ritual that's an hour long? Then this is what I want you to do. I want you to keep track of how many minutes and how many hours until next Tuesday night show you spend getting ready for the day. And then next week, we'll talk about that mathematical number and show you about time that's important and perhaps time that's wasted. That's this week's homework assignment. Let's check for any more emails, see if we got any more emails out there. Are you ready to say something to music?
Yep.
Hey, remember, you got pizza and barbecued chicken wings
to take home.
To take home, courtesy of?
Yes, courtesy of?
Come on, the Saltniks.
Yes, I'm going to get the first names, though.
Well, we're waiting, Mr. Hockaday.
Ken and Lori Saltnik.
Yeah, they sent us a check for $40 to buy special snacks for tonight's show.
Yeah, it was awesome that they even suggested what they did, because we wouldn't have thought of that.
And we blew the whole wad. Okay, you had a large pizza with what?
Pepperoni, extra cheese, and mushrooms.
Okay, extra pepperoni, cheese, and mushrooms.
Yep.
And I had a super supreme with all the toppings, but with zero sauce.
No sauce.
No sauce at all. Large pizza. And then we shared what?
16
honey barbecued,
right?
Chicken wings. Oh, hold on. We just got a.
And we're taking a bunch home, so no, we didn't eat all that.
No, we didn't. I had three slices of pizza.
Four.
How many chicken wings did you have?
I had four.
I think I had five chicken wings. It says, "Hi, BJ, Jim, and Ranger. Do you have to have a revelation from God to experience what you are talking about tonight?" Thanks, Diane from Toronto. No.
I mean,
why would you need a revelation from God to experience grace when Jesus' blood paid for grace and we're born with the divine spark? We're made in his image. What revelation is required? We have it.
Right. In other words, you could say, Diane, we were made to find him. We were made to experience him, and our body was made for the glory of God, or in other words, so that it could be healthy and whole. So really, it's just the acceptance of what's said, not necessarily you have to have a big old revelation. Okay, I'm ready for... That's not the music.
Yeah, that's your prayer music.
No, I don't recognize that music.
You know, you bought it.
I don't think so.
You paid for it.
You can't prove that.
No, yes, actually I can. No, you are wrong, sir. I can prove that you paid for that.
I must have been delusional.
Thank you. How many years did it take you to hate that music?
Oh, just hearing it right then, it all settled in at once. Well, thank you for listening to the show tonight. We certainly do appreciate your time, which seems to indicate that there is a real heart desire. The Lord said, if you'll be hungry and thirsty for Him, for what's right, or you could say, to find God, that you'll be filled. So I want you to be at peace tonight and at rest. And know that our prayers are with you, that you will begin to experience on a greater level each and every day the most wondrous grace of God that's staring us all in the face, saying, I'm here to help you, to benefit, and to enhance your lives. Jesus really wants to be more than just someone worshipped once a week. So let Him be more, let Him be the Lord of your life, and experience Him every day. We'll see you next week.
Well, that was nice. That was better than the first music.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Is that my music too, that second one?
You bought that too.
Yeah, see, I did good there.
Yeah, you did.
I think I was...
Actually, the only real stinker is that one that you...
And it's really bad. Once you hear the kind of stuff, if you don't hear it for a while, and then you go back and hear it, you're like, oh my goodness. What happened?
We have a song that goes out to a dedicated group tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This goes out to all of my close friends and buddies on satellite TV with 800 numbers with operators standing by to pray for you.
Okay. I haven't heard this in a while.
Let's find Jesus for $25.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I want your money.
I want your money for Jesus.
That's what I want.
Here it comes.
Your love gives me such a thrill. But your love won't pay my bills. I want money.
You heard it here, folks.
That's what I want. That's what I want.
You know, I couldn't say it better myself. Your love gives me thrills, but money pays the bills.
Your love won't pay the bills. I want my money.
That's right. Dedicated to all my friends and buddies with 800 numbers, operators standing by, major credit cards accepted, prayer groups standing by.
Folks, this is something we're never going to do, just so you know.
No, it's right up there with Dead Sea Scroll steak knives, Revelation oven mitts, Last Supper dinnerware. That's another goodie.
Now, you can just have Jesus all by yourself for free.
For
right where
free.
You're at. Just right where you're at.
Don't have to join up. Don't have
no.
to sign up. You don't have to do anything.
Just enjoy them tonight. Just buckets and buckets full of them.
That's exactly right. Folks, it'll take about 10, 15 minutes for me to get tonight's broadcast up and loaded. If you've listened for the first time, we probably should apologize to you, but we're not. And thanks for listening. Remember, tomorrow night, Jim will be at the Hardesty Library at 7 o'clock Central Time. You can go to the Jim Huckaday Ministry page or the Jim Huckaday Ministry Facebook page or website and watch and listen to Jim for an hour. That's 7 o'clock Central Time. We'll be here next Tuesday night. Take care of yourselves and your pets. And Ranger... And Ranger, what a good girl. Dog spelled backwards, Ranger. Good night, everybody.
Good night.